Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. We went to a revival meeting Friday night, and the evangelist was preaching on the topic, It's About Time, and I guess it was a three-part series, and we got there for the third part. But he read a particular section of Scripture that caught hold of my thoughts as he was ministering, and totally different message than what he had, but you know, there are a lot of messages in God's Word. It's not that we read a verse and it only applies to one specific thing most of the time. There's a lot of things that God's Word applies to. So if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We want to start with verse 13. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting with verse 13. And it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." And we're going to talk about what the context of this scripture is in a few moments here. But I want to go into here into one specific word here that caught my, or a couple of words here actually that caught my attention. He said, "I would not have you to be ignorant." So I looked this up in a couple of other translations. So I looked it up in the Complete Jewish Bible. And it says, "Now, brothers, we want you to know the truth about those who have died. Otherwise, you might become sad the way other people have." And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, and the Holman Christian Standard Bible says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope." So we're translating that word here where it says to be ignorant, to not know to know the truth, to not be uninformed. And I like to look up definitions to make sure I really understand the word. What's the word ignorant? It's a word that gets thrown around a lot, but it means lacking in knowledge or training, unlearned, lacking knowledge or information on a particular subject. So you can be an unlearned person and be ignorant, or you can lack knowledge on a particular topic and be ignorant about it. And let's face it, all of us are probably at some place, in some point, some topic, we're ignorant on it. We don't know anything about it. We're uninformed on it. And especially with the technology that we have today, unfortunately, a lot of us slightly older folks are ignorant when it comes to how some of the technology works. And we have to turn to our grandkids, who may be 40 years younger than us, to find out how it works. And we try, of course, to learn how some of these things work. And then there's stupid. That's another word we like to throw around. Well, it means lacking ordinary quickness and keenness of mind, dull. It's characterized by or proceeding from mental dullness, foolishness, or senselessness. Now, I threw that one in there because we sometimes like to confuse stupid and ignorant. You can be ignorant and not be stupid. Well, Paul here, as he's speaking to the church in Corinth, he was, of course, speaking to these people, and we're going to go ahead and read the next five verses here about what he's speaking about here. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from the heaven, and with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, Paul here is preaching a message of hope to these folks. You know, when a loved one dies or somebody knows we know dies, it kind of leaves a little empty spot maybe in our heart, or we're touched by it in some way. And as he's talking to him, you know, he's telling him here, if we die in Christ, we have hope. Here he's speaking that of the resurrection of the dead and the transformation of those that are alive at the time of the rapture. But he's also letting them know that there is hope for us that we will be with our loved ones again who died in Christ if we are a Christian. And so many times, you know, when you go to funeral, that's one of the things I don't particularly like to go to is funerals. And one of the things I'm not particularly fond of having to do is officiated a funeral, because it's a sad occasion. And, you know, people are very sorrowful. I always liked doing weddings better because it was joyful. You know, most people were happy and all of this. But a funeral, you know, people are sad, and that's natural that that occurs. But he's saying, you know what? There is hope here because we're going to see him again. If we're a Christian, we're going to see him again. We're going to meet them in heaven at some point. And those that have died, they're going to be with the Lord, and they're going to be there. And then when the rapture takes place, if we're still alive when it takes place, we're going to rise to meet them in there, and we're going to be joined together. It's an exciting thing to think about. Your parents, maybe, that died in the Lord, they were Christians. We're going to see them again someday. This is only a separation for a while. God has something great for us. Be happy. Rejoice. Lift up your hearts, because there is hope. I wouldn't have you be ignorant about this. I wouldn't have you to be unlearned about it. This is what God has in store for you. Now, that's the message he's preaching there. But we also want to know that, well, let's go on to this other verse here, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53, for it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. There is a day coming when we're going to be changed. He's saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about these things. This is what's going to happen. And a lot of times we as Christians tend to forget sometimes what God has in store for us, the blessings that God has for us. God wants to bless his people. But it seems like today the message of God's blessings has to do with how many dollars you have in the bank. Well, unfortunately for those folks that like that, you can't take those dollars with you. You might have them empty out the vault and bury it in your casket with you, but they're going to stay in the ground. And if you were a Christian and the trumpet of the Lord sounds and the dead in Christ rise, those dollars are still going to stay in the ground. They're not going to go anywhere with you. The blessings of God are more than how much is in your bank account. The blessings of God is what he does for you on a daily basis. The fact that you have the health that you have. And then some are not as healthy as others. That's an obvious thing. And that's a thing that's a fact of life. Some folks are not as healthy as others. But the fact that you've got what you've got is a blessing from God. And even sometimes the things that seem to go wrong and seem to be a disaster for you can turn out to be a blessing for you. If you're trusting God. God wants to bless us, but unfortunately, we want to dictate to God what the blessings are. Well, God, if you're going to bless me, I want this or that, you know. But God blesses us in so many other ways. I'm blessed. I'm one of the most blessed people I know. Because I've got really everything that I need. I've got everything that I need. Now, I'm not rich. I don't drive a Cadillac. I don't live in a mansion. But I've got everything I need. And you know, when I look at it, sometimes I say, I don't really want that stuff. Because people's going to come around wanting to take it from me. But I'm blessed. I can go to bed at night and I can sleep because I am blessed. I can get up in the morning and I can know that I am blessed. Because God is blessing me. So he's talking to them about these things. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about stuff. I don't want you to be uninformed about stuff. I want you to know the truth. But unfortunately in the world today, and even in the church, we've become so politically correct that we don't want to hear the truth. Oh no, I might offend somebody. If we preach the gospel and we say, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to hell. Ah! You can't say that. You'll offend somebody. You'll hurt somebody's feelings. Well, I'd rather hurt their feelings and have them go to heaven than to make them feel good and have them go to hell. But that's the politically correct world that we live in today. We can't speak the truth because it might hurt someone's feelings. So we sugarcoat and we embellish rather than speaking the truth. And you know, sometimes I'm amazed at the fact that we've become such a politically correct bunch of wimps. Yeah, you heard me right. I said a bunch of wimps. That if someone writes a political candidate's name in chalk on the sidewalk, people cringe in fear and they curl up and they say, my feelings are hurt. I'm offended. I'm afraid. How ignorant are you? How stupid are you? That's even a better definition in that case. Because the devil has got hold of this world. He's got hold of people's lives. And he wants to put them in fear. And living in fear. And this world lives in fear. Now I look around. I try to stay informed. I listen to the news. I even read stuff on the internet. And I'll be quite frank up front, I don't believe everything I read on the internet. In fact, I probably don't even believe half of what I read on the internet. But I know there are some people, I saw it on the internet, it must be true. I've known some people in the past, well, I read it in a book, it must be true. Well, a lot of stuff written in books has been a lie. And a lot of stuff you see on the internet's a lie. But I try to stay informed in what's going on in the world today. And I realize that they had a massive earthquake in Japan just a couple of days ago. I realize in South America they just had one, I believe it was last night. And they were both pretty close to the same intensity. I realize also that it's forecasted. It's hard to say prophesied. And yeah, it's been prophesied as well that there's going to be one that happens on the west coast of the United States. It's going to be just as disastrous or maybe more so. Causing billions of dollars worth of damages. And I could look around and I could live in fear. I could be beaten down. I could be defeated. But I don't want to be ignorant because I know what the Word of God says, and it says that God is going to take care of me. And the church needs to wake up and realize God will take care of us if we will put our lives in His hands. Or we can yield to fear. We can yield to ignorance, and we can be scared, and we can run all over the place like the chicken with his head cut off, or the guy that ran around and cried, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Yes, the sky may fall someday. There may rain bombs down from the heavens or something of that nature. In fact, the Bible says something like that's going to happen someday. But I'm not living in fear of what is foretold in God's Word to take place because I know that God is taking care of me. And I don't want you to be ignorant. God is going to take care of you if you are His child. Now, I'll have to tell you this. If you're not His child, you're in a pretty hard spot. You got a reason to be worried. Don't be ignorant. Find out what the Word of God says. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that'll take care of things. Does that mean you will never go through another hardship in your life? Absolutely not. We all go through hardships. We all go through times of testing. We all go through times of trial. But God is on my side, and He's going to take care of me. And if someday they lead me to the guillotine and they want to take my head off, I can go there knowing that God is going to take care of me. Because there's a few things wrong with this body that I'll be happy to get rid of. And I'm sure that's the case with most of you. There's probably a few things wrong with your body you'd be happy that God would take care of. He's going to take care of us. I don't want you to be ignorant. If you are a Christian, God is on your side. And if you're not a Christian, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to realize God can be on your side as well. But you have to accept Him first. You have to let Him be a part of your life. A lot of times, people ask, and we used to see this little sentence on bumper stickers and other things. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? You know, the world likes to paint a picture of Jesus that's not necessarily correct. Because after all, you Christians say Jesus is a nice guy. You say He doesn't do anything wrong and stuff like that. So Jesus wouldn't get angry. And if you're a Christian, you get angry, they look at you and say, aha, would Jesus do that? No. That's what people do. Would Jesus do that? No, Jesus wouldn't do that because He was a nice guy. They want to paint Jesus as a wimp. Probably afraid of His own shadow almost in their mind because He didn't want to do anything. Most politically correct person you could ever imagine is what the world wants to paint Jesus as. But I read in the Bible that Jesus marched into the temple one day, grabbed some cords, made a whip out of it, overturned some tables and ran some money changers out of the temple. He didn't have kind words to say about them as they were going out either. He called them a den of thieves. Well, if you walked into a place today and overturned some tables and called people a den of thieves, you'd end up in jail. That wasn't being politically correct. Other things that Jesus did. Went places that some people, oh, no, He wouldn't have gone. The evangelist was preaching the other night, or somebody was preaching about Jesus went to the house of the tax collector, Zacchaeus. Oh, no. Jesus got the word out. Jesus showed love to the people, but He also stood up. A lot of people don't really want to know what Jesus would do, because they're afraid of what Jesus would do. You know, He didn't hesitate to call the leadership for who they were and what they were. It says in Matthew 11:27, He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." That's pretty strong words. Here's the, maybe not the high priest there, but some of the uppity ups in the temple. Learned men. And believe me, they wanted you to know that they were the upper echelon of the group. Show me some respect, because I'm the top dog here. And he called them hypocrites. Beautiful on the outside, but on the inside they were dead. And he could have just as well been speaking to some of the churches today. Because we've got some that are beautiful on the outside, but on the inside they are spiritually dead. I don't know if I've mentioned this last week or not, but I have a friend who was attending church. He's a little bit older than I am. He's been involved in ministry all of his life as far as music ministry and things of that nature. And the church he was attending affiliated with a new group. And they decided that the folks over 50 couldn't be involved in certain areas of ministry anymore. So they cut them off. You're too old to minister anymore. Just let the young people do it. We want to cut out some people. That's not one I'd classify as ignorant. That's a move that I classify as stupid. We have something to contribute, no matter if you're 100 years old or if you're 5 years old. Because quite frankly, I've seen some kids that were 5 years old and known some that started out in ministry at about that age because they had an anointing from God. God can use anyone that will let him use them. The only person God can't use is somebody that won't let God use them. And he gave you that right to say yes or no. God could say, I want to use you and I want to do this in your life. And you could sit there and say, God, I'm not going to do that. Not me. Go find somebody else. Well, guess what? God will. He'll find somebody else. And you'll miss out on the blessings that God has for you. It seems like today we want to be ignorant. Don't tell me that. I don't want to know that. I don't want to hear it. There's an old saying, what I don't know won't hurt me. How many times has that backfired on somebody? If I don't know it, it won't hurt me. Well, there's a lot of times we need to read directions on something because if we don't read the directions, it's liable to hurt us. But oh, if I don't read the directions, if what I don't know won't hurt me. Comes back to bite us. What you don't know can hurt you. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In the Holman Christian Standard Bible, it reads, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of God. We need to make sure that we are correctly teaching the word of God. I would not have you to be ignorant or uninformed. I want you to know the truth. In John chapter 18, verse 38, Pontius Pilate asked the question, what is truth? The circumstance, he had a man called Jesus standing in front of him that was accused. People are saying he's guilty of all this stuff. And he asks, what is truth? Well, here's truth. And a lot of people don't want to hear truth. Even some churches don't want to preach truth, because the truth is, Jesus is the only way. And there have been some well-known preachers say, well, there's more than one way. That's not what Jesus said. He said, I am the way. In fact, in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to see those loved ones who were Christians once again in heaven, Jesus is the only way. Buddha's not the way. Muhammad's not the way. Some of these thousands of other religions are out there today are not the way. Jesus said, I am the way. And if I've told you that today, which I've just told you that Jesus is the way, and you heard what I said, it doesn't matter what you like me or not, but you are no longer ignorant of that effect or that statement. Because I would not have you be ignorant. The other thing is, he's coming again. There are a lot of people that taught, and some still do, that all the stuff that Jesus talked about, or a lot of it, as far as the second coming and stuff like, happened in AD 70 and some of the years following. You know, there were things that Jesus, well, those happened, that happened in AD 70, and this happened then, and this happened then. And they would have you believe that we're living in the millennial reign right now. Boy, I'll tell you, all you got to do is read a little bit of what the Bible says about the 1,000 years of peace, and you realize this is no millennial reign. This is no 1,000 years of peace. We're in constant battles and warfare. There is no peace. And there will be no peace, no lasting peace, until the Prince of Peace sits upon his throne. I would not have you be ignorant. That's the only way it's going to happen. He's coming again. Acts 1:10 and 11 says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. We are told, as he ascended into the heavens to go sit at the right hand of the Father someday, he's coming back, and he's coming back the same way he went up. He's coming back in the clouds. And a lot of times on a bright, beautiful day like it is here today in Columbia, Tennessee, there's some beautiful clouds out there. And I sometimes look up when we have clouds like that and say, is maybe that one of the clouds that Jesus is going to come back on? He's coming again. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18, as we read earlier, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He's coming again. And the dead, our loved ones who've gone on, will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be transformed, will be changed, and we'll rise to meet him in the air. I would not have you be ignorant if that's what's going to happen. That is what will take place. When will it take place? Oh, there are people out there that like to set dates and say it's going to happen on this particular date and under this particular weather condition and solar events that take, you know, and they can scrabble on with a bunch of stuff there. But I just know that the Bible tells me he's coming again, that I don't know the day, that I don't know the hour, that even Jesus said only the Father knows that time. But I can know the times and the seasons, and the times and the seasons tells me he's coming soon. Now, how soon is soon? I don't know. It could be in the next minute. It could be several years from now. I don't know, but I do know he's going to do it. He's coming again. Don't be ignorant. Be ready. That's the thing. If you're putting it off, you're being ignorant. No, let me change that. You're no longer ignorant because you've been told. If you're putting it off now, you're stupid. And some people, you would dare call people stupid? If that'll make you think that you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior to make that decision, then yes, because I've told you he's the only way and that he's going to come again. And the only way when he comes again is for you to be ready, for you to go up to meet him in the air. Don't be ignorant. Don't be stupid. Be ready. And the only way you can be ready is say, Jesus, come into my heart. A lot of you have already done that, but there may be some listening to me today that have not. And now is the time. Because you're not guaranteed to hear it another time. Fortunately, most of you probably will get to. But some may not. Be ready. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. And Father, those that are hearing this message, whether they're here in this building or in other places throughout the world, that listen by the internet, I pray, Father, there are those that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, that today that light bulb will go in their head and they'll say, I need to be ready. I need Jesus. And they'll ask him to forgive them of their sin and to come into their heart and make them a new creature in Christ Jesus. I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.